Professor Mark Shapiro has written about this extensively on the Sfarim blog, which is a very interesting blog, which many of you, or some of you, may know about, which is the issue of stemming from the last 12 psukim in the Torah and broadening out into how the other mefarshim, other commentators than Maimonides in the Middle Ages, regarded the issue of Mosaic authorship of every pasuk in the Torah. Now, we're going to have a look at the Rambam's eighth Ikar, which is very clearly that every single verse in the Torah was written by Moshe, was dictated by Hashem to Moshe, and there are zero exceptions. And even the suggestion that there's an exception is itself heresy. We're going to see that that is for sure a majority position, and it's very much the position that's taken by most Achronim as well. But there are other opinions, definitely in a minority, and we're going to have a look a little bit at the Ibn Ezra today, who leads us through a very subtle sort of breadcrumb trail, so that we'll find our way through to an understanding of this, which is at the same time accurate and at the same time hashkafically appropriate. So this sheet you may have noticed is a bit thicker than the normal one. There's 1.5 shirim here, and I'm not going to try and give it all in one. I debated whether to do it in two or to just give you the whole sheet for homework and do most of it in one. And I went for the most of it in one answer. So do not fear, we will not read every single word on the page. But nevertheless, let's start at the very beginning. I'm not going to read the last 8 psukim of the Torah, actually the last 12 psukim of the Torah, but the last verses in chapter in Sefer Devarim, chapter 24 of Devarim, talk about Moshe leaving the camp for Ya'al Moshe Ma'arvas Moav. Then he goes through to his death, and Moshe died in Eretz Moav. God buried him, and nobody knows. Look in the bold posik in Hay and Vav, in the middle of number 1, Vayamasha Moshe Eved Hashem Be'eretz Moav Al Pi Hashem. God buried him there in Eretz Moav. Mul Beit Pa'or v'lo yada ish es kvorosai ad hayom hazeh. Until this very day, nobody knows where he's buried. And we talked a little bit about that last week, but now I want to go into it in more detail as we deal with these questions on the Sefer Torah and the Torah itself and the writing of the Torah in the run-up to Shavuos. Look at number 2. V'yamasha Moshe, says the Sifrei, Efshe Shemet Moshe, could Moshe have died and still write these psukim? People can't write psukim after they've died. Ela adkan kosav Moshe. It's clear, it says the first anonymous Tanakhama in this brisa. So up until this point, Moshe wrote the Chumash. Mikan va'ele kosav Yoshua. And from this point onwards, Yoshua picked it up. Rabbi Meir says no. It says Moshe wrote the Torah, which presumably means the whole Torah. Is it possible that Moshe would have given over a Torah which was missing even one letter? How could that be? We'll get back to the Ois Echad in a minute. Remember that question. No, Moshe was taking dictation. God dictated. He wrote down the last 8 or maybe 12 psukim in the Torah. There is no real distinction between the last 8 and the last 12. And in fact, some of the classic mefarshim, when it says 8, they really indicate that they're talking about 12, which is where we're going to see soon in the Ibn Ezra. Fine. Rabbi Eliezer omer baskol yotza mitoch hamachane shnei masamil v'haitza macharezet v'omeret mit Moshe. So Rabbi Eliezer has an interesting idea that there was a baskol that says Moshe's died, so they could write those psukim in. And then he brings, I couldn't resist at the end, an opinion of Samalion. Has anyone heard of Samalion? Samalion is either one of the Tanaim or one of the Malachim. Sometimes it was maybe confusing between them. If you met them, I'm sure they were amazing people. But Samalion, Omev Yamad Moshe, the whole of the last psukim was dictated out from this baskol. And if you're interested in Samalion, I really don't know anything about Samalion, but I brought you a link to Jewish Encyclopedia. You can have a look at Samalion and think about that. Okay, Adkan the Sifrei. Two opinions. Yeshua wrote them, or God dictated them to Moshe. Seems very straightforward. Then you get into the Gemara. The Gemara deals with this in a few places. Let's pick it up in number 3. Mikasvam, who wrote the books of the Bible? Say Chazal. Moshe Kasa Sifro, Moshe wrote his book, Uparshas Bilam, the Eov, excuse me. And Moshe wrote Parshas Bilam. which is what we call Parshas Balak. Why might you have thought that Moshe didn't write Parshas Balak? Because the whole thing took place on a mountaintop a long way from the camp. And Eov, there's many debates as to who wrote Sefer Eov. Here it attributes it to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Yeshua, Kasav Sifro, Yeshua wrote the book of Yeshua, with Shmoina Psukim Sheba Torah, and he just says quite clearly he wrote the last 8 Psukim in the Torah. By the way, this Gemara in Bava Basra goes on to list all the books of the Torah and who wrote them. And it's not always as obvious as you think. Chazal, for example, do not say that Shir HaShirim and Kohelet were simply written by Shlomo HaMelech. That's not what they say. They say they were written by the Anshei Knesset Gedola, by Chizkiyahu HaMelech. So it's very interesting to read that section in Bava Basra. It's not always what they tell the kids in elementary school as to who wrote the books. Chazal themselves were aware that the authorships of different books in the Tanakh, I'm not talking about the Torah, is more complex than we think. But the main source is in the Gemara in Menachos in number 4. Have a look in number 4. Amar Rabbi Yeshua bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Gidl, Amar Rav. So this is where all the action happens. Shmona Psukim Sheba Torah. The last 8 Psukim in the Torah, Yachid Kora Asam Bebeis HaKnesses. A Yachid can read them in the Beit HaKnesset. What is meant by a Yachid is something which I'm going to get into in a little bit, but in not too many details. But a Yachid can read them in the Beit HaKnesset. Actually, I apologize with all the excitement of the microphone. I forgot to read out the dedication. I'll do that now before I forget again. But the Shir is dedicated by our anonymous donor for 2024, Le'ilu Nishmois Brana Bas Brandit and Zelig Ben Kalman. And that is a very much appreciated anonymous dedication. And also today's Shir is specifically dedicated for Refu Shalema, for the daughter of Menachem Persov. Maybe people know Rav Menachem Persov from the OU and other places, who is scheduled to have a serious surgery this morning. And we daven that the shir should be for the merit, for Refuah Shleima, of Dina Yehudis Bas Chana Chasya. And I apologize for not reading at the beginning. And I didn't ask anyone to turn off their phones, but we haven't had any phone yet. So don't speak too soon. Right, fine. Let's look again in source number 4. So the question raised in the Gemara is as follows. Shmoneh Psukim Sheba Torah Yachid Karo Samba Beis HaKnesses. And we don't know what Yachid means yet, and we're not going to dwell too much on it, but they're different. An individual can read them. They're written in one go. We'll talk about that in a minute. Kaman, who gives this special din to the 8 Psukim of the last 8 Psukim of the Torah? Galoka Rabbi Shimon. It's obviously not Rabbi Shimon's opinion, says the Gemara. Datania, the Yamasham Moshe Eved Hashem, because it says Moshe died. The Evsham Moshe Chai, could Moshe be alive? The Kasa of Yamasham Moshe, and still write that Moshe died? That's not Emes, that's Sheke. Just out of in parentheses, note the question in the Sifrei and the Gemara is slightly different. The Sifrei was worried that Moshe had died, and yet somehow wrote this Psukim, and the Gemara is worried that Moshe is alive, but could write something that's not correct. Not going into that now, but there is a subtle difference. Ella adkan kasav Moshe. The Gemara then says, it's quite simple. Moshe wrote up to that point. Mikan ve'ele kasav Yeshua bin Nun. Okay, Yeshua finished off the Torah. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Va'amrila divi Rabbi Nechemia. So we have Rabbi Yehuda, we have Rabbi Nechemia, we have the first opinion in the Sifrei that we saw. Yeshua finished off the Torah. Amaloi Rib Shimon. So Rib Shimon says, no, how can that be? Efshe sefer Torah chasa ois echas. Achas, can a Sefer Torah be missing a single letter? V'ksiv, doesn't it say, Lakach a Sefer Torah azeh v'samte Moshe? Moshe says to the tribe of Levi, take this Sefer Torah. He gave them a Sefer Torah, which is not the same posik that the Sifrei brought, but again, not for now. So rather, Ela adkan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, v'Moshe Omer v'Kosef. Up until this point, God dictated and Moshe repeated the word to get it right, to clarify it, and then wrote it down. But from this moment, Mikan ve'elech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, God who dictated these last 8, or maybe 12 psukim, Moshe Kosev Bedema. And Moshe doesn't repeat them, but he writes them down Bedema. We'll see in a minute what Bedema means. Pashtas, it means in tears, but it's not so straightforward. By the way, the idea of the scribe repeating the posuk, the word before they write it down, is brought down in Halacha. I brought you in a footnote that the Shulchan Aruch rules that when a scribe is taking dictation and writing mezuzahs or Sifrei Torah, if he's not got a text in front of him, he has to repeat the word again that he's being dictated and then write it down. And the Vilna Gaon says even if he's writing from an existing text, he still has to repeat the word. So it's not surprising that the Torah was written in such a way getting from this source that Moshe repeats the word and then writes it down. But the last day psukim he didn't repeat. Rashi says, Loi haya oma achrav miroiv tsaro. He was so distressed. And, you know, there's a debate as to what exactly he was distressed about. He wasn't necessarily distressed that he was going to Olam Haba in a few minutes. He was distressed maybe that he couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. There's all sorts of discussion about that. And he brings a posuk from Yirmiyahu, where Baruch ben Neriah wrote down the psukim dictated to him by Yeshua. And he says, I just wrote down exactly what I heard. He didn't repeat those either, because it was Sefer Eicha, the idea of this, which Yoyakim threw on the fire. It's a whole discussion there in the book of Yirmiyahu. Okay, so Reb Shimon says it cannot be that Yeshua wrote down the last day psukim. It has to be that Moshe wrote them in some different way. So Lema Deloik Reb Shimon. So this first opinion that said that the last day psukim are read, which we now read on Simchas Torah, in a different way, does Reb Shimon disagree with that? Because he disagrees that Yeshua wrote them. So the Gemara says, no, I feel it's Reb Shimon. Even Reb Shimon says they have a different status. Since they differ in some way in the way they were written, not, he says, because Yeshua wrote them, but because Moshe wrote them in a different format. So they're different. And therefore a Yachid can read them. So what does he mean a yachid? I'll just mention very briefly. There's a few different opinions. One opinion is that they have to be read together with other psukim, so as not to highlight the fact that they were different in any way. Other opinions in the Rishonim say exactly the opposite, that we dafka take them and read them on their own to highlight that they're different. Other Meforishim say, no, the idea is that you can read them even without a minyan. Other psukim in the Torah need to have a minyan. This, even a yachid, even an individual, can read them. So the Rambam brings down that opinion, and there's a very interesting rivet, because we, of course, read these psukim on Simchas Torah, and that was the minhag in Babylonia that finished the Torah every year, and even the minhag in Eretz Yisrael that finished the Torah every 3.5 years, they still read these psukim on Simchas Torah, according to many opinions, to finish off the Torah. So the Rambam says even an individual can read them. So the rivet comes in there. I didn't bring it on the sheet because I don't want to get too distracted with that, and says, I don't understand. What happened to the minyan? You were reading the Torah up until now with the minyan, and now all of a sudden the minyan has disappeared. Where's the minyan disappeared? To which the answer is, to the Kiddush, of course, downstairs. Like, and the poor fellow is sitting here, whatever, there are other more erudite answers to the Ravid's Kasha than that. And there is an opinion, which is, we kind of fulfill many of these opinions, but the opinion is that a yachid, an individual special person, is called up to read these, which of course is what we do. We call them the Chatan Torah. He's called up to read these psukim. But anyway, that's what it means. But this detail of these last 8 psukim is something the Chazal want to clarify. Either someone else wrote them, Yeshua, or Moshe wrote them in a different way. Now, this expression, bedema, is not clear at all. Nowhere in the Tanakh or elsewhere, as far as I'm aware, in Chazal, is the word dema used for tears. Dema'ot are used for tears, but not dema. It's a singular, or mean tearing. Maybe it means tearing. Or so some of the Meforshim bring down straightforwardly, he wrote them when he was crying. The Ritva has a fascinating explanation in number 6. If you look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Moshe Kosev, U'mekan ve'elech, from this point on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Moshe Kosev Bedema, Perish, what does that mean? He wrote them Bedema. HaHefresh Shebeinehem, the difference between these psukim and the former psukim, Tkia Rishonim Nichtavim Bedyo, up until now he's been writing in ink, V'ha'achronim nichtavim bedema. And now he's taking his tears and is writing these psukim down in tears. Which is interesting, because if you say that, then Moshe did write the last 8 psukim of the Torah, but Yeshua went over them, as it were, in ink. It's trying to get its mind around how both opinions could be right. I brought you also Rav Dovid Zvi Hoffman in number 7, who has an article on this. Obviously, Rav Dovid Zvi Hoffman from the Wissenschaft schools in Berlin about 130 years ago. So he says dema is the word for invisible ink. And there's a whole halachic debate. Is invisible ink called ink in halacha? If you write a get in invisible ink, that will become visible either 24 hours later, or it will. You need to put some kind of solution on it, and it will make it visible. Is that a good get? Is that not a get? Is that called writing on Shabbos? Is that not called writing on Shabbos? Anyway, that will take us too far away from what we're looking at today, but Rav Dovid Zvi Hoffman says that invisible ink is what he used. The Ksav HaKabbalah in number 8 has a tradition that he brings in the name of the Vilna Gaon, where he wants to say that the word dema is from a pasuk in Shmot that refers to truma. And he wants to argue that dema is another word for meduma in Chazal, means truma that's been mixed up with chulin. And therefore you have a mixture of different things. And the Ksava HaGabalah wants to suggest from the Gaon that actually what Moshe did is he wrote the words, but he wrote them in a code. He wrote them in a way which was not the final decoded version of the Psukim, and that's what it means for Dema. And he brings in this respect the Ramban. I did want to mention this because the Ramban is an important and fascinating source. Look in page number 3. Again, we will slow down as we go forward because these first issues I wanted to deal with quite quickly. The Ramban in the Hakdama to the Sefer Torah in number 9, he says as follows: Aval ze emetu bororu. This is absolutely clear. Shekola Torah mitzchilat Sefer Breshid ad le'ene Yisro kol Yisrael. The whole Torah, from the very beginning to the very end, Nemra b'pishul HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'oznav shel Moshe, was said from God's mouth, as it were, to the ears of Moshe. Od yesh b'yadeinu Kabbalah. And we also have a tradition, says the Ramban. He was a Kabbalist, after all. Early Kabbalist. Shel Emet, we have a tradition based on the mystical Torah of going back already, and he'll quote Rashi as well. Ki kol ha-Torah kula shemoshe shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That all the Torah is really God's names. Because if you reorder this idea, the wording in the Torah in a different way, it spells out a completely different Torah, a Torah of God's names. Ki'ilu tachshov al derech moshe. I'll give you an example, he says. Ki posuk bereshit. Bereshit bara Elokim. The very beginning. What could be easier than Bereshit Bara Elokim? Yitzchalek letevot acheru. Just break up the words in a different way, and you get Berosh Yitzbara Elokim. You can rewrite the Torah through different combinations of the letters. The Kol HaTorah came. All the Torah is like this. Milvad etzirufinu gematria same. And I'm not even talking about gematria, coding through gematria. I'm talking about just coding through the letters. Shel Shemus of the names of Hashem, Gematria, etc. I'm not talking about that. Ukvakas of Rabbeinu Shlomo. And then he says, if you look in Rashi, you'll see Rashi alludes to this as well. But Peirosh of Batalmud, and he writes on the Gemara, Inyan Hashem Agadol Shel Ein Bet, the 72-letter name of God, Be'ezeh Inyan Hu B'Shloisha B'Sukim V'Yisa V'Yavo V'Yet. This is in B'Shalach, when the Jewish people set off across the sea. There are three P'Sukim, one after the other, each with 72 letters exactly. And Rashi on the Gemara, I think it's in Sukkah there, says, I'm not sure 100% where Rashi is, he says, this is an allusion to God's mystical 72-letter name. And the Ramban jumps on this because this is one of the proofs, if it's a proof, that Rashi was a Kabbalist. It's not clear that Rashi was a Kabbalist. Most commentators and academic scholars will say that Rashi was certainly not a Kabbalist, but he does throw us a bone, as it were, with these 72-letter names. But the point is the Ramban is saying that when it says the Torah was written at the end in a code, this is the code it's alluding to. And actually, somebody asked me last week, at the end of this year, why are we talking about the writing of the Torah? Isn't the Torah, didn't God look into the Torah, the Midrash says, and create the world? Many of my students asked me this question. And when you think about it for more than a second, you realize that what Torah could that Midrash possibly be talking about? It's not talking about a physical Torah with ink on parchment. God doesn't look into physical things. God is not a physical entity. So that Midrash is obviously talking about something else. And there's a very, very thin book, really a pamphlet that was written about 35 years ago by Rav Nathan Lopez Cardozo, called The Mind, so The Torah as God's Mind. It's a fascinating, fascinating book, and it talks about the idea that when the Midrash, the Zohar and the Midrash, talks about God looking into the Torah, that is the primordial Torah which somehow represents the essence of God's mind. Obviously, God doesn't have separate parts, but that's what it's getting at. And then this Torah coalesces and goes through different stages until it reaches eventually what the Torah that we have. One of those stages is what the Midrash calls black fire on white fire. This is a process of crystallization from a completely non-structured form of Torah into a fire form of Torah, into this jumbled, coded form of Torah, and eventually into the Torah we have today. It's a little bit, if you're into cosmology, imagine the beginning of the universe after the Big Bang as pure plasma, where things had not cooled down enough to actually form atoms, and gradually forms atoms. It cools down and cools down. Atoms, then bigger structures, eventually you have the universe that we have today. So don't get fooled by Midrashim and think that they're talking about something simple. They're never talking about something simple. Midrashim are complex. And looking to Shavuos, there's a beautiful Radvaz, which I didn't bring you again on the sheet, but I you can look it up, in one of his tshuvas. And he brings this a famous Midrash that a lot of people talk about on Shavuot, that when Moshe went to receive the Torah, the Malachim said, how can you give the Torah to mankind? And God says, you answer them. So the Midrash there says, Moshe says, it's a very well-known Midrash. Moshe says to the Malachim, okay, what's your problem? It says in the Torah, do not murder people. Do you murder people? Do you need this? And the Malachim go like, psh, he's good, he's good, he's good. Do not, make sure you honor your parents. Do you have parents? And at each stage, the Malachim are getting more and more impressed by Moshe Rabbeinu's erudition. And the Radva says, I don't understand. What's he telling them that they don't already know? They didn't realize that that's what the Torah said. They kind of now, you know, Asimon Nofel. So he says, it's clear that when it says that God was going to give the Torah to man, they thought that this meant, says the Radvaz, that primordial, spiritual Torah, which somehow represents the essence of God's mind. And they said, how can that happen? And then Moshe says, no. We're taking a ink written on a parchment that says things like, you know, don't murder people. They, oh, yeah, that you can have. Yeah, take that. That's not a problem. So it's actually worthwhile thinking again about these Midrashim in a way which is a bit more sophisticated. Okay, fine. So that's the, if you like, the last 8, 12 psukim of the Torah, basically two opinions. Yeshua wrote them, Moshe wrote them in a different way. Fine. Is there a psak? Is there a final answer on this? So look at number 11. So the Ramban says, we saw the Ramban in the introduction to the Torah, he says the same thing, when it says, V'yichtav Moshe et haTorah hazot mitzchilat breshid ad le'eni kol Yisrael. From the very first word to the very last word. He passes like Reb Shimon, Rabbi Meir, not like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemiah, and the Tanakhama of the Sifrei. This is also the Rambam, and we'll see the Rambam in more detail. However, the Ibn Ezra says otherwise. And we saw this briefly last week. Look in 13. Says the Ibn Ezra, Lefi Dati, when it says Moshe left, at the beginning of the 34th parak there, Ki mizeh posuk kasav Yeshua. From here on, Yeshua wrote them, Ki acha sha'ala Moshe lo kasav. Obviously, after Moshe left, he didn't write them. Ubederech nevuah kasvu. But he makes a point of telling you it's dafka through nevuah. Yeshua was a navi. He didn't just stam write them. God gave him these psukim as a navi, not obviously the same as giving the psukim to Moshe. We'll get back to that soon. But he gave them these last eight psukim to Yeshua. And so too, number 14, when it says Ada Yom Hazeh, that no one knows Moshe's grave to this very day. It sounds like not just a week later or a month later, it sounds like many years later. Divri Yeshua, he says, this is Yeshua's writing, V'yitachen shekasa zeh be'achrit yamav. And it was at the end of his life. Okay, all seems very unproblematic so far. The Orach Chaim, Rav Chaim Ibn Atar already in the time of the Achronim, he alerts us to some concerns with the Ibn Ezra. Number 15, Ada Yom Hazeh. Heim divrei Hashem shahaya omer u'moshe kosev. Immediately he sets out very clearly, this is not anyone but Moshe. Moshe wrote this down. I'm going with those opinions in Chazal. K'moy kein ma'amarim ha'kodmim lezev yamas Moshe v'yikbar oso. So too, the things that came before this pasuk, that Moshe left and Moshe died, they're all written by Moshe. Ura'iti laharav Avram ben Ezra, Ibn Ezra. By the way, he's not Rav Avram ben Ezra. Ibn Ezra was his family name. His father was not called Ezra. Ibn Ezra was the whole family was called Ibn Ezra. So I read in the Ibn Ezra, Shekasav Yeshua Kasav Zeh, that Yeshua wrote this. The Ein Ra'ui Lichtav Kedvarim Ha'ele. You shouldn't write things like this. But Pashtei Ksuvim, just in the Ksuvim, like to explain, Shemoshe Loi Hishlim Sefer Torah, Kushimasru Levim. You can't write things like this. Why not? A Chazal write things like this. He says, no. Sheba oznai shamati. I have heard myself, says the Orach Chaim, mibnei amenu, from people in the community here in North Africa. Mistabchim b'davaze. They get very confused when you start to tell them things like this. Umistavim as a kfira b'torah. And it quickly rolls, it's the slippery slope, quickly rolls out into full-blown heresy. V'zohi tainas ha'akum. Isn't that what the non-Jews say? The Muslims. The Muslims accused the Jews of corrupting the Torah, that it wasn't actually Yitzhak that was on the Akedah, it was Yishmael, etc. We know that this is what the Muslims said very late in the game, meaning the Muslims are coming to this claim thousands of years after everyone else has been writing the other Torah. I'm not getting into that right now. But he says that you don't want to give, of course that claim is ridiculous, he says, but you don't want to give fuel to that by giving all these opinions that other people than Moshe wrote the Torah. And he says the Muslims say that there are things in the Torah that weren't, never happened, and there are things that are not there that did happen. You should forget everything you heard of this nature. Shield your eyes from them. The ha'ika, the thing you need to know, is shekola sefer Torah kosal Moshe uka'amrum v'shlimu b'dema. You have to follow the other opinion. You can't follow the opinion of Yehuda because people are going to start to take this, run with it into places you don't want them to run. Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. Rashi quotes both sides. He doesn't seem concerned when it says at the end of Yoshua, number 16, Vayichtov Yoshua et advarim ha'ele, b'sefer Torat Elokim. It says in the end of Yoshua, Yeshua wrote certain things in the sefer Torah of God. Well, what could that be? So Rashi, there on Yeshua number 17, Nechliku Amoraim, that the Amoraim debate this. Chad Amor, one view says, Elu ches psukim min v'yamas Moshe, these are the last 8 or 12 psukim of the Torah. Shehari Sefer Torah chasar, the Sefer Torah was chaser. It was lacking these psukim, v'yishlim or Moshe finished it off. V'chad Amor, and another opinion says, no, it's nothing to do with that Sefer Torah at all. Parsha Zoshal Ari Miklat, Kasav B'Sifra, this is the accounts of the cities of refuge in Yoshua's book itself. When it says he wrote them in Sefer Torah Elokim, it means he wrote them like they were written in Sefer Torah Elokim. But Rashi seems to bring both opinions, doesn't have a problem with them. And not just Rashi, but the Mishnah Berurah. When the Mishnah Berurah brings this halacha for Simchas Torah, and he says that we don't break up those last 8, 12 psukim of the Torah, we read them all as one unit, for whatever reason we discussed before. He says the Mishnah Berurah, number 18, Ein mafsikim bahem, we don't break up this psukim, l'chalkan l'shnei kruim, we don't call up two people, it's just one, the chasan Torah's aliyah. V'hatan de'yesh bahem shinoi, because they're different from the rest of the Torah, m'shal sefer Torah. Do Yeshua kasvam? And again, he says very comfortably, Yeshua wrote these 8 psukim. V'afilu l'manda amada Moshe kasvam, and even if you say Moshe kasvam b'dema, Moshe wrote them in tears, or whatever that means, hol sheyesh shinui b'hem, shenichtafu b'dema, nishtanu shelo l'chalkam k'shal sefer Torah. Since they're different, he's following that opinion in the Gemara. So it doesn't sound like there's a psak on this issue. Different people through the ages are bringing different opinions. You can go like this opinion, you can go like that opinion. Okay, again, so far, nobody's hyperventilating so far. Okay. However, the Ibn Ezra was a very concerned man. And he was right to be concerned because he'd gotten himself into all sorts of hot water through his life. He had a very unfortunate life, the Ibn Ezra. He ran away from Spain, from the Almohad invasions. He ran to France, where first to Italy, I should say, where they regarded him as way too, I think what you would say in today's world, modern, which became a negative word sometime over the last 25 years, for their liking. And he says they chased him out of town, throwing garbage on his head, and he ran to France, where he became fast friends with Rabbeinu Tam. He got to France just in time for the Second Crusade, that came rampaging through France, and then he moved north. He moved to the Atlantic coast of France, and then he moved to England. He moved to Oxford, and he moved to London. He was killed by a rampaging mob somewhere north of London. My guess is probably on Boreham Wood High Street, which is pretty rough on a Saturday. That was just whatever. He lived a difficult life, and he died al kiddush Hashem. But he had to couch his commentary quite carefully because people were already looking out and gunning for him. And in some places, by the way, he takes a very hard line against other commentators, partly because I think he really held that way, but partly to show, you know, I am really a hardliner. Don't think that I'm not. And I maybe mention some of that later. But this shiur, you could give 8 shiurim on the issues are raised in today's shiur. But let's have a look at the Ibn Ezra. Number 19. At the beginning of Dvarim, it talks about Moshe saying the speeches of Dvarim, Be'eve HaYarden. Be'eve HaYarden, in Transjordan. Now, he's immediately alive to a problem, which is that they're in Eva Hayarden. Why would they call it Eva Hayarden? It's only really ever called Eva Hayarden, you might suggest, by people living on the west side of the Jordan. They call it Transjordan. Of course, it's not such a strong question in Pshat, because you could just say this land is called Eva Hayarden, and it makes sense within the book of Bamidbar and Devarim to say that, because remember, Reuven and Gad said we don't want to cross the Jordan, and this was always meant to be the land on the other side of the Jordan, not where the Jewish people were living. This is not a bombshell question, but he's concerned by it. So he says like this, Im tavin sod hashnei masar. Number 19, if you understand the secret of the 12, and he brings you some other psukim, which are part of this secret, Gam, for example, V'yichtav Moshe et hashira hazot b'yomahu, and V'haknani az ba'aretz, we're going to focus on that one in a minute, and V'asher yiamar b'hayom b'har Hashem yira'eh. It says at the end of the Akedah, that this is the mountain on, they will say this is the mountain on which God appears, which is Har HaMoriah, which was only later when the temple was built. And also he brings a pasuk about Og Melech Abashan and his crib. It said, Hine Arsa Eris Barzel, it's made of iron, V'halohi Berabat Bnei Amon, and it's in Amman, it's in the capital of what now is Jordan, etc. If you understand the problems in Pshat with those psukim, Takir Ha'emet, then you'll know the true story. End of quote. So what's he talking about? So it seems pretty clear, and I'll bring you some of the Mephoshim on the Ibn Ezra in a minute. The secret of the 12 are these last 12 psukim in the Torah. And there's a secret in them, he says, which applies to other psukim. Let's have a look at one of them that he mentioned, number 20. The Avor Avram, Be'eretz, Ba'aretz, Ad Makom Shechem. Avram goes through the land of Israel to Shechem, Ad Elon Moreh, the Haknani Az Ba'aretz. The Knanim were then in the land. So what does the Knanim were then in the land mean? So it could mean two things. It could mean then, that's when they came to the land, but beforehand they weren't in the land. Or it could mean in those days the Knanim were in the land, but they're not there anymore. Now, the second pshat is difficult because this is being written in the Chumash, and the Knanim were still in the land. And only someone living much later would put in a pasuk saying the Knanim are no longer there. So look at the Ibn Ezra, number 21. Knani Azbaris. Yitachain she'eris Kanan tafsa Knan miyad acher. It could easily be the first pshat that I said, which is that Knan, who was from the family of Ham, came into Eretz Israel. They shouldn't have been there. They're meant to be in Africa. That's their, you know, nachala. And this is the point at which they begin to impinge on the land of Shem. Okay, it could mean that. But if it means the other pshat, which he won't even tell you, yesh lo sod, then there's a secret there, the hamaskil, and if you're clever, yidom, you'll keep your mouth shut. Okay, so what's he talking about? Elsewhere, he takes a very hard line on any suggestion that psukim were written later than Moshe Rabbeinu. Look in number 22. Ve'eile malachim, Hashem malchu ba'eretz Edom. These are the kings that reigned in Edom. This is the end of Parshas Vishlach. Lifnei malach, michlei malach melech lifnei Yisrael. Before there was a Jewish king over the Jewish land in Eretz Israel. Now, if ever there was a posuk that was a good candidate for this posuk, sounds like it was written later, because who was the first king in Eretz Israel? Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech is way, way later than the Sefer Torah has been written. If ever there was a candidate suggesting some kind of later authorship of this pasuk, this is the one. However, the Ibn Ezra, in a very fiery way, jumps in number 23. Yesh Oimrim, you could give a nice pshat, he says, Ki b'derech nevuah nichtav azoita parsha, that this whole parsha was written with prophetic insight, that this is going to be the king and the king's going to come. And it's not an inconsistency to say the books of prophecy include prophecy. Like the whole conversation whether there are two Isaiahs, because the first half of Isaiah seems to be dated in the time that we think of as Isaiah, and the second half of the book of Isaiah, which they sometimes call Deutero-Isaiah, the second Isaiah, he's talking about Shivat Zion. It's talking about the restoration of the Jewish Commonwealth after Ezra, etc. So again, it's not a problem to say Isaiah was a prophet, he can get prophecy. That's a perfectly legitimate pshat within the if you like, assumed parameters, the a priori assumptions of the Torah. However, he says there are other people that say differently. Middle of the first line in 23. The Yitzchaki, now Yitzchaki is not Rashi. Let me get that clear. He wouldn't have called Rashi Yitzchaki. And Yitzchaki is a Karaite commentator from a couple of hundred years earlier than the Ibn Ezra, probably Yitzchak ben Yashush of Toledo. He says, Yitzchaki Amar Besifro, he wrote this book, this Karaite commentary, Ki be yimei Yehoshaphat nichtava zot ha-parsha, that this parsha was written in the time of Yehoshaphat HaMelech. And then he kind of reads into all the different individuals at the end of Vayishlach something that would apply in the time of Yehoshaphat. And then he says, Hachi kara shmo Yitzchak, and that's why his name is Yitzchak, kol hashomea Yitzchaklo, because anyone who hears such nonsense will laugh at him in the face. And then he says, Chalila, chalila, shehadavar kamo shediber, al yimei Yehoshaphat, God forbid, it should be later in Yehoshaphat, v'sifroi ra'uili hisareif. And this book should be burnt. Very very strong in his words. And yet, this is the Ibn Ezra who gives you this Yesod HaYudbet, the secret of the 12. What is the secret of the 12? So I brought you two commentaries on the Ibn Ezra and a commentary that disagrees with him but quotes him. Number 24 says that Tzafnat Paneach on the Ibn Ezra, classic commentary on the Ibn Ezra, that Tzafnat Paneach was Rav Yosef ben Eliezer HaSfaradi, 14th century Spain. What are the Rishonim? He gives this, he hints to the secret of the beginning of Dvarim. And this is what it means. How can it say about the Canaanim they were then in the land? They were in the land then, but they're not in the land anymore. Says very clearly, the Canaanim were still there when Moshe wrote the Torah. It seems from this, Zot Hamila Kan. Moshe didn't write the word as. He didn't write it, says the Ibn Ezra. Rak Yoshua, either Yoshua, or Echad Mishar Hanavim. Not just Yoshua, but maybe one of the other Nevi'im. Could it be Dvora? Could it be, you know, Shmuel? Someone else wrote the word as. V'acha sheyesh lanu lahamim b'divrei Kabbalah. Since we have a mitzvah to listen to the Nevi'im, u'b'divrei Nevuah, Mali Shekasva Moshe or Shekasva Navi. Why do I care if Moshe wrote this word? It's why it's one word. It's Moshe wrote it. Shmuel wrote it. It's all Nevuah. It's not Stam. Since they're all true, V'heim b'Nevuah, and they're all Nevuah. Now, you'll already be kind of edging out of your seats and saying, but isn't the ninth, the seventh of Moshe's Ikarim, of the Rambam's Ikarim, of the Rambam Maimonides' 13 principles of faith, the seventh is that the Nevuah of Moshe is fundamentally different from every other Navi. Fundamentally. And to say that another Navi wrote words in the Torah is absolute heresy for the Rambam. So that Tzafnat Paneach is saying, so everyone has to agree with the Rambam. The Ibn Ezra doesn't agree with the Rambam's 13 principles of faith, or at least not all of them. I raise another question. Does Maimonides even agree with the Rambam's 13 principles of faith? Which is a strange way of putting it. But of course, when you read the Morin Nevuchim, it doesn't always sound exactly like the Mishnah Torah. And of course, many people will say, of course, you can harmonize them. You should harmonize them. That was Professor Yitzhak Twersky's approach. Very much there. We're not dealing with two people, Maimonides and the Rambam. But I'm just saying it's Professor Menachem Kellner wrote a few, many years ago, he wrote an article called Maimonides Get Into the Rambam's Heaven, which was a clever title for an article. And I commend you to his writing on this, which is very clear and very, very instructive. But the Tzafnas Paneach says this was the secret of the 12, and a later Navi wrote them. Now, number 25, Rav Moshe Almosino, also one of the main commentators on the Ibn Ezra, 16th century Turkey. Ve'imkein, he says, if so, it can't be, the Ibn Ezra saying, that Moshe wrote this specific thing. Because the Canaanites were still there when Moshe wrote the Torah. And it's Shenema Yeshua or Ezra. Ezra, another candidate. Early Second Temple. Kasav Cain. This is the secret. And if you look in this Tosfos in number 26, he disagrees with this position, but he quotes it in the name of the Ibn Ezra. V'zehu amru, and this is why they said, v'im einenu kein yesh lo sod, there is a secret if they're a different pshat. Ki kavanosai, the Ibn Ezra means by this, This is not what Moshe wrote. It was written later after the land was conquered and the Canaanim were booted out. And this is the Ibn Ezra's view on many psukim. We don't follow that. We don't agree with that. Shekala Torah, we go after the view. Shekala Torah, Kasav Moshe, Mipi Hashem, Beloi Chiluk Vashinui. But there doesn't seem to be any question. And Professor Shapiro, Mark Shapiro, brings scores of sources from the Middle Ages, all of whom many of whom disagree with the Ibn Ezra, but all of whom, or most of whom, think that's what he was talking about when he said this. Now, what are we going to do with this? Because don't we hold by the Yud Gimel Ikarim? Maybe you could say this. Maybe the Ibn Ezra could say this. Maybe even he couldn't say this. But like, can we say this? Can we say this today? So I'm not giving you an entire shira on the Yud Gimel Ikarim here, but the Mishnah already in Sanhedrin says that someone who doesn't believe the Torah is min hashamayim is a heretic, and they have no place in the world to come. And the Gemara expands on this in number 28. V'ha'oime ein Torah min hashamayim. What does this mean? Tana Rabbanan. Ki dvar Hashem baza. They have insulted, they have scorned the word of Hashem. That's the pasuk from Bamidbar. What does that mean? Second line of 28. Zeh ha'omer ein Torah min hashamayim. That's someone who denies the heavenly origins of Torah. Va'afilo ama, even if such a person would say, kol ha'Torah kol ha'kulam min hashamayim. I believe all the Torah is min hashamayim. Chutz mi pasuk zeh. It's just one pasuk. Shaloi amra kodesh baruch hu ela Moshe mipi atzmo, but Moshe wrote it himself. Zeu ki dvar Hashem baza. That's absolutely heresy, scorning the word of Hashem. Va'afilo amar, and even if a person said, kol ha'Torah kulam min hashamayim, all the Torah is min hashamayim, chutz mi dikduk zeh, except this piece of oral law, kal v'chomer zeh, gzei reshava zeh, this is also ki dvar Hashem baza. And the Rambam takes this very much at face value, and he writes, I'm not going to give you the whole thing. Ah, shouldn't have touched the microphone, sorry. Number 29, I brought you most of the Rambam's wording for his eighth Ikar, which is Torah Min HaShamayim. And there I'll give you a little summary. The Rambam basically says that King Manasseh, was one of the greatest, the worst of heretics of all time, because he said there are different layers to the Torah. This is from Moshe, this is from someone else, this is from later, this is from earlier, and that's absolute heresy. You cannot say this on any level at all. And he paskens this in Hilchos Tshuva, number 30. Shloshed heim ha-kofrim ha-Torah. Three kinds of people are deniers, heretics in terms of Torah. Ha-oyme she'ein ha-Torah me'im Hashem, afilu posek echad, afilu teva echad. Even one word, teva achatz, im ama Moshe ama mipi atzmo, harize kofer b'Torah. This is absolute kfira. And there's a tshuva. I brought you an extract here, although we'll see the tshuva in more detail in a minute. Rav Moshe Feinstein says this is absolutely how we pasken. Number 31. Va'af she'beloshon haGemara isa rak chutz mipasuk zeh. Even though the Gemara only mentions someone who thinks that the Moshe didn't write a whole verse. Even one word. The lav davcha, not only one word. Even one letter that Moshe didn't write. The Rambam didn't mention a letter. But it's all the same idea. No one is allowed to add to the Torah or take away from the Torah, including the Nevi'im. The Rambam's very, very clear on that in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. And here's a trailer for next week. Va'af al menatzpach. What's menatzpach? The final letters. What's with the final letters? Ah, doesn't it say in the Gemara to work out what is in the middle of the word, what is at the end of the word? V'hikshah Gemara on the fourth line. She'ein reshaim lechadesh davar. How could the Nevi'im bring in the final letters, change the font? They're not allowed to change anything. Says Rav Moshe, not a problem. Haterud shachachum, and the Gemara answers there, they were forgotten, the chazru v'yastim, and they were brought back again, v'pilpula, meaning the Nevi'im didn't invent them, they just brought them back. V'af Ezra, l'Rebbe Yossi, b'Sanhedrin, even Ezra, the nishtani al yado haksav, that changed the entire Hebrew font, which we'll get to next week. Next week I have lots of pictures and slides for you, well, on the sheet, not on a PowerPoint. Even Ezra, who changed the font,
says, no, the Gemara is very clear. He only did it because the Torah gave him the ability to do that. And therefore, it's very clear that anyone who argues that even one letter, even one word, even one pasuk is from the Torah other than what God said to Moshe, certainly, if even to say that Moshe wrote it on his own is heresy, it's certainly heresy to say it was written later, even by another prophet. The Rambam is clear. You could not be more clear, at least in the Mishnah Torah. So, what's with the Ibn Ezra? First of all, does he have to fit with the Rambam? Lav Dafka. But the Ibn Ezra might turn around and say to you, I only said, and I insist, that only a later prophet can add words into the Torah. The reason he was so upset with Yitzchaki by saying that this pasuk was added, this parsha was added in the time of Yehoshaphat, because Yitzchaki was arguing that some scribe just wrote it in the Torah. Any old Joe Schmo wrote it in the Torah, says the Ibn Ezra, Chas v'shalom, chalila, 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 to say that people added to the Torah who were not Nevi'im, which is what this Karaite commentary was saying. But if I say that they added through Nevuah, that's completely different. It's possible to add a posuk here, a posuk there through Nevuah. That is not considered heresy. And in fact, there's a much deeper question going on here. The Rambam makes it clear that later Nevuah can never add to the Torah, can never take away from the Torah, and is not on the level of the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. However, not everyone agrees with that. For example, the Kuzari clearly says the later prophets are part of an ongoing Sinai experience. The Sinai experience does not end, as the Rambam says it does at the death of Moshe, but continues. There's a posik in Dvarim. This is, again, very good for Shavuos, this Torah. Look at number 32 in the bold. It says that Sinai was a kol gadol velo yasaf. Kol gadol velo yasaf. Go over the page. What does Rashi say there? Kol gadol velo yasaf. Metargaminan lo pasak. Lo yasaf means there was no sof. The Sinai experience never ended. Ki kolo chazak v'kayam la'olam. And then he says davar acher. Alternatively, lo yasaf means lo hosif. It didn't continue. Two completely opposite pshatim in lo yasaf. Either Sinai didn't continue, it ended, or it never ended. And these are the two ideas we're talking about. Can Leitzer Nevuah continue the Sinaitic revelatory experience on some level or not? The Rambam says not. The Kuzari says yes. The Meiri says yes. The Ibn Ezra seems to say yes as well. However, I would add that the Ibn Ezra has an unfortunate history of being terribly misquoted. Ad hayom hazeh, I might say, without any pun intended. The Ibn Ezra is very often misquoted. And people say, well, you know, the Ibn Ezra says this and the Ibn Ezra says that. Most of what they say the Ibn Ezra says, he never said. The Ibn Ezra simply said that occasional psukim here and there could have been inserted by a later dafka by a Navi, but only psukim here and there. One of the most famous misinterpreters of the Ibn Ezra is, of course, Spinoza. And we could talk about Spinoza for at least an hour, and I quite like to, but there's another share happening in 10 minutes from now. But Spinoza said, well, you know, it's not just me that doesn't think that Moses wrote the Torah. The Ibn Ezra says that Moses didn't write the Torah. And everyone calls out Spinoza on that. Poor scholarship and incorrect quotation. And I brought you in number 34, Shadal, Rav Shmuel David Latato, who himself calls out the Ibn Ezra on this and says the Ibn Ezra actually wasn't just mistaken, but he tries to trick people by misquoting and selectively quoting. And Shadal is not exactly an uncontroversial commentary in and of himself, but his attitude to the Ibn Ezra is terribly negative. And says, God forbid you should believe what you believe what Spinoza says. He's trying to trick you. Hashem should have rachamim on you. You should understand, you know, that Spinoza is not correct. So there's a lot to say about Spinoza, but the Ibn Ezra is often, often misunderstood. Are there any people other than the Ibn Ezra who clearly agree with the Ibn Ezra in the time of the Rishonim? So I brought you a Ramban, which I'm not doing in detail here, in 35 and 36, deals with the king of Arad. And there's a discussion as to whether the psukim dealing with the king of Arad are from the time of the Chumash or somehow refer to a time later on. And the Ramban brings an option that maybe it's a Nevuah for later on. What I'm interested in, and I'll just mention now in number 38, the Abarbanel, and you can read this in your own time, the Abarbanel thinks that the Ramban is following the position of the Ibn Ezra on the secret of the 12 and goes ballistic. It's one thing for the Ibn Ezra to do it. It's another thing for the Ramban to do it. Now, you don't have to read the Ramban as doing that, but it's interesting that the Abarbanel would assume that this is something that the Ramban might do in alleging a later authorship of Psukim every here and there. The Rashbam is a whole parsha in itself. I brought you in 39 and 40. But I wanted just to mention Rabbi Huda HaChassid. Because Rabbi Huda HaChassid, I was listening to a podcast this morning which just innocently mentions Rabbi Huda HaChassid as one of the players in this discussion. So for this, we'll need 3 or 4 minutes, and we could spend a lot longer, but I've given you all the sources to go away and look at this. In the 1970s, Rav Yitzchak Langer in Switzerland published a manuscript, which he said is from Rabbi Huda HaChassid. It attributes itself to Rabbi Huda HaChassid. Rabbi Huda HaChassid was one of the Rishonim in the Pietist school in northern Germany in the 13th century. And the Perish, the manuscript, talks in a number of places about later prophets adding in psukim to the Torah, like we talked about from the Ibn Ezra. There's one about Etzion Gaver, which I brought you, and I'll flick a little bit forward in 41 and 42, and was that a reference to something that happened later? There's one, just go over to page 9, in Vayasam et Ephraim, Vayasem et Ephraim lifnei Manasseh. When Yaakov puts Ephraim before Manasseh, so look in number 43 for a second. Perush Avi, lo al Yaakov Nemar. It's not Yaakov that put Ephraim before Manasseh. Ki al Moshe, it's Moshe that put Ephraim before Manasseh. V'yasam et Ephraim lifnei Manasseh barosh degel. Bavush Yaakov amar v'achiv akaton yigdal mimenu. V'yeshua kasvoi, Yeshua must have written this about what Moshe did. Or anshe kneses hagadoyla. Or one of the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, or the committee of the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, they must have added that in. So apparently Rabbi Huda HaChassid has a similar line. Also, and perhaps even more strikingly, in number 44, in Bamidbar, so we have the Shirat HaBe'er, number 44, Az Yashi Yisrael et HaShira HaZot. So they sang a Shira, Alei Be'er Anula, and it's a very truncated Shira. We expect to find a whole Shira. So says this manuscript of Rabbi Huda HaChassid, number 45, Az Yashir, what does it mean there, the Shira Taba'er? Zehu Halel HaGadol. This is Halel HaGadol. Hodu Lashem Kitov, Kili Olam Chasta, on all the psukim of Halel HaGadol. Shela Acha Shinitzulu Misichon Va'og, after they were saved from Sichon Va'og, Va'avru Nachal Arnon, and they crossed Nachal Arnon, Az Nase Zeh Ashir, they said Halel HaGadol. Ubechumash haya ksiv. It was in the Chumash. Elisha David Hamelech hisir kol mizmor yimei Moshe. David Hamelech took out from the Chumash all of the mizmorim from the time of Moshe, the chibrim v'sefer tehillim shelo, and put them into sefer tehillim. This is dynamite stuff. So, the publisher, before publishing this manuscript, decided to ask Shaila, and he went to his rav in Switzerland and said, can you publish this? Is this for real? That Halel HaGadol says, apparently Rabbi Huda HaChassid was extracted from the Chumash and put into Sefer Tehillim? So the Rav looked at this and probably had heart failure and sent it to Rav Moshe Feinstein. And that's the tshuva that we were reading from before. So let me just show you, and you'll have a lot of fun reading this on your own. Look at page 10. So page 10 is a lot of words, which we're not going to say. But Rav Moshe Feinstein writes back to the Rav in Switzerland and says, this is a forgery. It cannot be that Rabbi Huda HaChassid said this. And by the way, there are good reasons for questioning some of these comments that Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. They don't even address problems in Pshat. Why can't you say that Yaakov put Ephraim before Manasseh? He said, no, somebody else is causing trouble, and they've inserted their words into the words of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid because they thought it would give them more authenticity. But this sefer is heresy, it's not true, it's a forgery, and absolutely may not be printed. Then Rav Moshe addresses the fact that someone found there's a book called Sefer HaTzioni, which is, he wasn't a Zionist particularly, but Sefer HaTzioni is a very well-known Kabbalistic commentary from the 14th century. And the Sefer HaTzioni quotes Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid saying the things that Rav Moshe said he could never have said. They were a forgery. So what's he going to do with the Sefer HaTzioni? So he says, so he's also a heretic. And that's also a forgery. And who knows who the Sefer Tzioni even was? You can't bring me proofs from the Sefer Tzioni. Rav Moshe is very worried about this. The question then went to other Rabbonim. When it went to the Ungvara Rav, Rav Menashe Klein, he writes a tshuva in number 48, where he says, you know, with respect to Rav Moshe Feinstein, I understand this is challenging, etc. But how could it be that Rav Moshe Feinstein disregarded the Sefer Tzioni, which is such a well-known Kabbalistic sefer? How could it be Rav Moshe would have dismissed such a sefer? And says the Ungvara Rav, it must be this is a forgery in the Igros Moshe. And some Talmud put into the words of Rav Moshe Feinstein that this is the case. So you know, you see the sparks are flying. To cut a very long story short, the book was printed in two formats. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was also involved in this. The format in Israel did not have the offensive sections. The format in America had them still in the book. But this is very, very well documented. I do not have time at more length, but I want to bring you just one last thing for you to read. It is very important because on the page 12, I brought you, the RCA put out a statement on this in 2013. And I think it's important. I'm not going to read this whole thing because it is the hour is late, but you should read it for yourself. And they said, look, don't let's get this out of proportion. The Ibn Ezra may have said this, may have said that, maybe it was Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, maybe a couple of people weighed in the same idea. But the clear mainstream of the Rishonim, and certainly the Achronim, is that the Rambam's position is the pigeon we take, and this doesn't in any way open up the floodgates to biblical criticism, which, for reasons which are very clear, which you can read also in Professor Shapiro's work as well. And Rav Yitzi Blau also, I brought you in 52, who says that just because you say the Ibn Ezra was an outlier doesn't mean you accept, you know, lock, stock and barrel the whole of biblical criticism, which is what Spinoza, as it were, tried to do, which is not legitimate in any way. So there is a debate. I've given you all the sources, or many of them. Go away. Do the searches. This is well documented, and you'll come back well educated next week. But next week we turn to other things, which are, I don't know about less controversial, but more visual. Let's say we'll reconvene then. Be'ezrat Hashem.